unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we find in the Bible a disconcerting, jangling, harsh message. In both the Old and New Testament, God warns against what he calls false prophets, false teachers. Now this seems out of place today where people think there is no absolute truth and everyone is entitled to believe whatever they want to believe. How different is the message of the Creator and Redeemer God who gives us his holy word, which is truth. Now the Bible, when we think of the prophet, we think of somebody who foretells the future. And part of the work of the Old Testament prophets surely was to foretell the coming of the Messiah. But the main work of a prophet is to foretell, to proclaim the word of God to sinful people. In the New Testament, Jesus warned against false prophets who would come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves, meaning that these false prophets, false teachers, would come disguised as bearers of the truth. They would even come in Jesus' name, but they would destroy the flock. In Romans 16, our Lord and Savior tells us to avoid those who are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine or the teaching that we have learned. Peter warns Christians in the latter days to test the spirits. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, it was the same in the Old Testament. The Lord in the Old Testament warns against false prophets who would come in the name of the Lord, but who would lead people away from the true God. Prophets who would say, "Don't worry, everything's all right. You can compromise your worship of the true God with the worship of the idols around you." So you had in the days of Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, King Ahab with his 400 prophets of Baal, his wife, the wicked queen Jezebel, with her 450 prophets of Ashtoreth. All of these gods had their false prophets. But there were prophets also who came in the name of the Lord. Our text this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet of the Lord even before he was born, before he was formed in the womb. Jeremiah's was not a pleasant task. He was sent to the people of Judah to warn them against the impending judgment of the 70-year Babylonian captivity because of their wickedness, because of their immorality, because of their idolatry. And most of the people would not listen. And yet, Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord. Now, our text is taken from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. And in this section, the Lord warns against false prophets. at the beginning of this chapter, he calls them shepherds. Because a pastor, a prophet, is a shepherd, an under-shepherd, responsible for the flock. And he begins in chapter 23 by saying, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord." Just as Jesus would later warn against those hired men who really weren't shepherds, who didn't care about the sheep, these false shepherds, instead of protecting and feeding the flock of God, would scatter them, bring destruction upon them because of their false teachings. And so he goes on in this 23rd chapter, and our sermon this morning is taken from verse 23, as you find it written in your bulletins. "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places, so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. But he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" So far, God's word. In the verses following our text, the theme is the Lord's word to Jeremiah: "I am against the prophets who." And we're going to find in this section God's condemnation of those prophets who come in the name of the Lord but speak lies formed in their own hearts. Now he begins by saying, "I am against those prophets who have a dream. I have dreamed. I have a special revelation from God." Now in the Old Testament, there were those prophets who came and said, "God has given me a special word of revelation. God has given me a special message for you. God has given me a dream." Today, even, you can find preachers who may get up on Sunday morning and say, "God gave me a word of revelation last night." Somebody said, as soon as you hear a preacher say that, hang on to your wallets. There are no revelations apart from the Scripture, apart from the Word. And so the Lord tells Jeremiah and the people of Jeremiah's day, "I am against the prophets who claim to have a special revelation from God." But it's more than this. Again, verse 25, "I am against the prophets who prophesy lies in my name." Now, it's bad enough when you have the false prophets of Baal or Ashtoreth, the false prophets of Islam, the false prophets of Buddha. But what is even more dangerous is when a pastor, a prophet, a proclaimer of the word, gets up and in the name of the Lord lies to the people. Why would a false prophet do this? Romans 16 says we're to avoid them because they are belly seekers. They're doing this for their own profit. Paul described it as people who have itching ears being satisfied by this false message of false teachers. In other words, the best way to gain people's favor, to gain a following, is to tell people what they want to hear. The worst kind of a prophet is one who comes to the people and says, everything's okay between you and God. Go ahead and do what you want to do. God still loves you. The prophet who comes and says, don't worry. And you find that today. You find a message being proclaimed that appeals to sinful mankind's pride or love of things. Pride in the sense that the message may be, God will love you because you do all of these things, because you're such nice, kind people. Or a message that says, you're going to be successful and wealthy if you follow Jesus. It's the message of the TV evangelist hucksters who take advantage of people, proclaim a materialistic gospel in the name of the Lord. But you never or seldom hear proclaimed, you are a sinner who deserves God's wrath and punishment. Very seldom will you hear the gospel message, Jesus, God's Son, died for your sins. A message that centers on Jesus. These lies are promulgated by prophets and teachers who go for the latest fad. You can see if you study religious history how various false teachings become very popular, very attracting a lot of people for a while, but they peter out. The Lord says, I am against the prophets who use their tongues and declare, thus says the Lord. More harm is done to the cause of Jesus Christ by false teachers than by real atheists or agnostics. People who come in the name of the Lord but proclaim a gospel which Paul says is no gospel. The Lord says, I am against the prophets who lead my people astray by their lies and by their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them. Now he begins our text by pointing out the folly of people who think that, well, it doesn't make any difference what I say, what is taught, what is heard, what is believed. Almost as if God were way off there and he doesn't care what's being taught or believed or proclaimed. He says, do you really think that God's not right here? Do you think that anybody reflecting Psalm 139 can hide themselves from God and get away with all of this? I am against the prophets who lie in my name. Now, the Lord also reveals to Jeremiah and his people that he is for the prophets, the preachers, who have my word and speak my word faithfully. The very nature of a pastor, a preacher, a prophet, is that they are given the charge simply to proclaim God's word. you haven't come here this morning to hear my political advice, I could give you an earful.
Is it free?
It's free. But you get what is paid, what you pay for. You don't even come here to hear my financial advice. Same thing. You have come, you don't care what I think, or you shouldn't. You have come here to hear God's Word. What does the Lord say? How often and how easy it is for a pastor and a church to get sidetracked, to get into all these other areas which aren't important and ignore the Word. From Genesis to Revelation, thy Word is truth. This is the only place that you're going to find truth. It's God's holy Word given through the Spirit. So God tells Jeremiah, He says, he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Is all this other stuff is chaff. You ever worked when you were young, Mr. Kleinschmidt, on a threshing machine? What does a threshing machine do? It takes out the grain. That's what you want. The wheat, chaff comes out the other end. The straw is only good to line the stalls for the cows, maybe give them a little unnutritious food. You don't want chaff. You want the substance. You want not only the milk, but the meat of the Word. God says, I bless those prophets who pray faithfully speak my Word. Unfortunately, we tend to judge spiritual matters by human standards. How successful is the gospel and those who preach it? How successful has my ministry been? Now, Paul in Corinthians says, you know what? It doesn't make any difference what all of you guys think about my ministry. You may think it's the greatest thing in the world. You may think it's the worst thing in the world. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, he says, it doesn't make any difference how I judge or evaluate my own ministry. There's only one thing that matters. Paul says that as a preacher of the Word, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. I'm the caretaker, the fiduciary. I have been given the Word, the Gospel. God will judge me simply how faithfully I have proclaimed that Word. It is necessary for a steward, he says, to be found faithful. Faithful to the Word. So God says to Jeremiah, he says, he who has my Word, let him speak my word faithfully. Now it's very easy for a prophet or a pastor who wants to be liked and accepted by his flock to kind of modify maybe the harshness of God's judgment against the sins of the people. That's what the people, the prophets of the Old Testament did. It's okay. God doesn't care, they said. God, however, says, my word is like a fire. One of the most frightening things, other than an earthquake, must be a fire. Think of the fires out in California, how quickly out west they consume everything in sight. God's word is a fire. But it also is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. God's word consists of law and gospel. And when it is rightfully proclaimed, that word, according to its law function, will break down the pride of the most self-righteous man, will break his heart so that he realizes the sins that he has committed against holy God. What a downer. You come here and hear that you're a sinner, that you're the chief of sinners, that you have sinned in thought, word, and deed against God. But that word, when faithfully proclaimed through the power of the Spirit, breaks the hardest of hearts and teaches us to acknowledge our sins. But you can't stop there. You can't say to people, okay, you got to try harder now. You got to do better. No. Then comes the gospel. God loves you as a sinner so much that he gave his only son. God's son died for your sins. And that word has the power to change people's hearts, to change people's lives. This is the only book that's alive. It's alive and powerful because it was given by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works through the Word to enter the hearts and lives of people. Again, the book of Hebrews says, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, when faithfully proclaimed, makes believers. But it also keeps people in the faith. So God blesses the work of faithful prophets and pastors who simply faithfully speak his word. So, this text is a text for pastors, for prophets, to encourage them to speak only his word, to faithfully apply the word to themselves and to their hearers. But it also is addressed to you, to seek out pastors and prophets who simply proclaim to you the word of the living God in its truth and in its purity. It's not very impressive. It's not very powerful to the world's view. Doesn't seem to be accomplishing much today. But God's word is like a fire. It's like a hammer that breaks the hardest of rocks. So don't underestimate the simple power of the proclamation of the Word of God, realizing the blessedness of those who hear and keep, guard the Word of God. We're approaching the year, October 31st, which will mark the 500th year of Luther's posting the 95 Theses. So 1517, 2017. So we're going to have a year-long emphasis, not on Luther, but on the power of the Word, which almost was lost in Luther's day. Remember that Bible chained in that library? The Bible written in Latin, so nobody in Germany could understand it, and how God freed his word and what was accomplished through the preaching of the gospel. You get a little pessimistic as you get older. Sometimes you get older, you think, boy, word's in trouble. The church is in trouble. Not God. is in control. And he promises that his word will never return to him empty. But like the rain clouds, it will accomplish what God has purposed to the saving of many souls. God says, I am against the prophets who come with their own words and lie in my name. But I am for the prophets who faithfully proclaim the word of God. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.